Are you ready for the experience?
Nine. He goes off crazier than usual.
No, seriously, like, I hope we all don't get fired for this.
Blah, 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 blah.
He used to hand out t-shirts, and now somebody's letting him talk on the radio?
Crowd is here, about to blow. They told me to stop the show.
It's the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Break it down.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome into the experience. 10:02 on a Sunday evening. Got to tell you, it's been quite the weekend. But first off, you're more than welcome to join the show. Give us a call, 404-726-0929. That is the phone number. I'm joined this evening on the other side of glass by Miles Guru Williams, at least for the first half. Guru, how has your weekend been so far, brother?
Hey, it's going good, Bo. What's going on?
Not much, man. Spencer Schwellenbach talked me off of a ledge this weekend. And I'm going to get to that in a minute.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. And it wasn't a very high ledge. I was about to go a full... I was going to rethink my way of thinking about this 2024 season for the Atlanta Braves. And Spencer Schwellenbach had a lot to do with me changing that way of thinking with his masterful performance on Saturday. We'll get to that soon. You can also give us a text or give me a text on the text line. It is also 404-726-0929. Been kind of a crazy weekend. Lots of birthday parties, three to be exact. One today, two yesterday. When you have a child that plays sports, you end up getting invited to like all of your teammates' birthday parties.
So you have to go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm the coach, so yeah. I mean they're all friends, and I want to go, and I want to be with. But man, it's stressful, man. Just carving out time in the day, carving out money in the pocketbook. You want to roll in there with no $5 gift.
No.
You got to get something cool. I mean, we went straight gift cards for these two, though, because we just didn't have time over the weekend. So let me get to what I was talking about. So let's rewind back to Thursday. So Thursday, Chris Sale takes the mound for the first time since the All-Star break. Now, had he went on regular rest, and I'm talking about the Cardinals series and the Cincinnati Reds series that the Braves both lost 2 out of 3 in, had Chris Sale gone on regular rest, if I'm not mistaken, if my math is correct, had Chris Sale gone on regular rest after the All-Star game, that would mean he would have been pitching Friday or Saturday, as opposed to having his start. He was going to pitch Sunday, Monday, and then it got pushed back a day, something like that. He ends up pitching Thursday, throws an absolute gem, two-hitter. The Mets only got 3 hits versus the Braves on Thursday, and the Braves lost that game because of lack of offensive output. Sale goes like 7 innings. I didn't even put the details on Thursday's game. That's just how it's going to set up. The way of thinking that I almost trapped myself into. Lose that game. The whole team only gives up 3 hits. It should have only been 2 hits because they lost in, what, the 10th with the Laureano. Couldn't catch the ball. That was scored a hit. I guess because of the distance he had to travel. Look, it was a tough play, but you're a Major League Baseball player, man. Catch the ball. You got to catch that ball. So then Friday comes around. I go and meet some friends for Food Truck Fridays in downtown Duluth. Fantastic time. If you don't mind hanging out outside during the summer. Me, I love it. I don't mind humidity. I don't mind heat. I don't mind hanging out outside. I don't mind hanging out in the sun. But shade's cool, too. So we go down to Food Truck Fridays, go down there and meet some friends, take the kids down there. It's a good time. There's grass they can run around in. There's restaurants. There's lots of beers. There's food trucks, whatnot. So this Braves game starts. Does not go well. Charlie Morton is chased after 2 2/3, gives up 5 earned runs, 3 of those home runs. Charlie likes to do that this season, give up the long ball. And I'm sitting there watching this game on my phone while listening to a band in a restaurant in downtown Duluth and just looking at the friends that I'm with. Shout out, Mike from Mizuno. What's going on, man? If you're out there listening, it's kind of late. May not be. We're sitting there watching this game unravel and Charlie Morton give up home run after home run. And it kind of hits me. Wow. These guys aren't very good right now. And look, it's 100% to do with the fact that they've just been snake bitten this entire season. You know, the most recent ones being Freed, Albies. We'll get to today in a minute. Freed, Albies goes down. We're without Albies for 2 months. Ozzie will be back for the playoffs should we, you know, make it there. And look, it's trending in the right direction. But this wild card race is going to come down to the end. Because I don't think there's going to be any catching the Philadelphia Phillies. You would not have heard me say that even as little as a week ago. But then this Mets series happened, and the Cardinals series happened. Cincinnati Reds series happened. It's two series that we should have at least won two out of three by, because we're better than those teams. So we're 8.5 back of the Phillies. I don't know that we're going to – the Phillies are still playing good baseball. Everybody deals with injuries. They haven't dealt with a whole lot. We're 1.5 up now on the Mets in the wild card. Thankfully, we salvaged this game today. I say salvage. We didn't really salvage anything. We kicked the crap out of them today. But so also on Friday, look, we had Doobie start to get hot. 2-4-2 home runs on Friday. Ozuna hits another one, number 29 on Friday. But I was starting to think, when I woke up Saturday morning and started, I went to the first birthday party. I'm sitting around talking to some softball dads. What is Alex Anthopoulos going to do if somebody calls with a generous offer? And look, I'm not saying that we should be sellers. I'm not even saying that that was in my mind frame on Friday. But after you just lost two to the Mets, you can't freaking hit the ball. Actually, they have started hitting the ball, but Charlie Morton just gave up more runs than we were able to score. A lot of solo home runs on Friday. This is Saturday morning. I'm talking about those. So this is a conversation right after the two losses. But before Spencer Schwellenbach pitches on Saturday, what if somebody gives Alex Anthopoulos a call about Marcell Ozuna? One of the hottest hitters in baseball. Still to this day today. All right? Now, he's been the hottest hitter in baseball, one of the hottest hitters in baseball this entire season and much of last season. And hell, in 2020, you know, he almost won a triple crown. Then he got into the trouble and whatnot, but we don't know how long this is going to last. He's got a very friendly team option for next year for $17 million. Be out of your mind not to pick that up for the Atlanta Braves, but I'm pretty sure that would travel with him, I think. I could be wrong there. But if you get to get Marcell Ozuna for the rest of this season and get him for $17 million next year, that's worth something to a lot of baseball clubs. And I'm not saying that we should trade Marcell Ozuna. I'm just saying I bet that Alex is getting phone calls about it. What would you do? We have a lot of pitching capital in the minor leagues. And we're starting to see some of those guys coming up, one being Spencer Schwellenbach, that pitched on Saturday masterfully. So that's where my head was Saturday morning up until this game started, and we progressed through this game as we get done with birthday party number two on Saturday. And watch this game unfold. Spencer Schwellenbach on Saturday, 7 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 11 freaking strikeouts. He hasn't struck out 11 guys since he was like in high school. He did serve as a reliever a little bit in the minor leagues. So he hadn't been a starter for all that long in our system. Schwelly goes 7 innings pitched, 0 in runs, 11 Ks. Ozuna hits a home run on Saturday. That's number 30 if you're counting at home. Olsen hits a bomb. There it is. My guy. Almost feel bad using that clip because, you know, the story behind that clip is not a very positive one. But, hey, man, that's our guy. Love Marcell Ozuna. Don't think the Braves should trade him. I'm just saying we're almost there. Had we lost 3 or 4 from the Mets and we were down 1.5 games as opposed to being up 1.5 games, you may look at something like that happening. Like, AA might just look at this team and realize, hey, this might not be our year. He's still only a couple losses, I'm sure, from that realization. Because, look, I hate to tell you out there, Braves Nation, there's not going to be a whole cavalcade of guys coming at the trade deadline, which is like Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern, I think. There's not going to be a whole cavalry coming. Now, if Alex goes out and gets anything, it's going to have to be pitching, and it's going to have to be multiple pitchers if we want to make a run. Now, the Max Fried injury, he should be able to come back on time. That may be like Thursday, Friday, something like that. I doubt that he's going to require any kind of rehab assignment or something like that. He just had the neurosis, whatever in his forearm. He probably could have pitched through it. But this is a contract year for Max. He has not been extended by the Braves yet, so, and he may not be. He's going to do everything within his possibility to make sure that he's healthy going to the end of the year so he can show off for his suitors. He doesn't want to lose money. If he gets seriously injured, he's going to lose money. So we've got that. Now today, Ronaldo Lopez goes 3 innings, gives up 0 earned runs, strikes out 2, leaves the game with forearm tightness. Every time you hear about a pitcher having forearm tightness, you know, the forearm bone's connected to the elbow bone. Every time you hear about that, and he is headed for an MRI, I'm surprised we haven't gotten any news yet. Because this was way earlier today. They played like a 1:30 game. Watched most of that one while I was at birthday party number 3. Most of the time you hear about forearm tightness is directly linked to the UCL and the elbow. Praying that that's not the case with Ronaldo Lopez, who has been one of our, I mean, he was an all-star. All right, Braves clobber some home runs today. Olsen hits another one, so that's back. That's 2 days. Two days in a row. Arcia hits one. Riley hits his 14th. Laureano hits one, has the freaking play of the day, maybe the play of the weekend by gunning somebody out at home. If it weren't for the play in right field, I guess that was Thursday, though. So that wasn't technically the weekend. So, yeah, Laureano might be the MVP of the weekend with this game today. At the time, they needed that out. They ended up blowing out the Mets today, salvaged the series. They tie with them. So they're back up a game and a half. But we need pitching, especially if this Ronaldo Lopez injury is serious. And if this Ronaldo Lopez injury is serious, there may not be enough pitching out there. I hear Tarek Skubal may be available. Although Detroit's not actively shopping Skubal, they're listening. That would cost us an arm and a leg, which we really don't have. You know, you may have to give up A.J. Smith-Shawver. You may have to give up Waldrop. It may take more because the Detroit Tigers have no reason. Skubal's still under control for 2 more years. They got no reason to shop him, but he is one of the best pitchers in the American League. There's other guys out there. What's it going to cost to get him? AA's definitely not going to go throw a bunch of draft capital, a bunch of minor league capital out there for a bat in the outfield. I don't honestly think that we need that. As long as you get Michael Harris back. Now, he had a setback too. Now, he's been transferred to the 60-day IL. He's eligible to come back in about 3 weeks. August 14th, 15th, something like that. Let's just hope that he gets back when he's eligible to come off the 60-day IL. We get Michael Harris back, who, look, he wasn't clubbing the crap out of the ball. But, hell, at this point, for the bottom of the lineup, the way they're performing, you can bring that .250 batting average on. We'll take it. You get Michael Harris back in center field. You can play Kelenic and Laureano in right. You can play Rosario and Duvey and left or whatever combination you choose. I think we got enough guys, especially if those are the guys that are going to be at the bottom of the lineup. And they probably are. Although Adam Duvall led off today. Well, look, Snitch is trying to make some things up, make some things happen. That's what you got to do. Kelenic needed a day off. Hadn't been hitting the ball lately. Need to take a day to rethink his decisions that he's made in his life, and get to get back out there tomorrow. Braves head to Milwaukee now. Grant Holmes going to start tomorrow, so it's going to be kind of a bullpen game. Grant Holmes' last outing, he did go 3 innings, threw 52 pitches. So you can expect about that out of him tomorrow. And then what are you going to do with your bullpen tax the next day? I guess you're going to be able to flip the rotation over, or you just bring up somebody off the Wankster wagon from Gwinnett. This is going to be Elder, I guess. Jeepers Creepers, you heard me sit here last weekend, I think, and just moan and complain about the fact that we just kept rolling these guys out there and taking L's. But it's not going to surprise me one bit to get everybody that extra day of rest. And I say everybody very lightly. You've got Schwelly. You've got Chris Sale. You got Charlie Morton. Outside of that, it's a hodgepodge. Let's hope that this Ronaldo Lopez injury isn't serious. But I'm hoping that that doesn't mean, or that's not an indication of why we haven't heard anything. So go get some pitching, AA. If we want to make a run, we got to have some pitching. It's not gonna come by the outfield. These guys got to stay hot. They got to keep hitting. Did a little bit of hitting this weekend versus some decent Mets pitching. Let's see if we can go up to Milwaukee and keep hitting the ball out of the park. It's going to be absolutely necessary. I got a fun show for you this evening. Guru, have you checked out Wolverine and Deadpool yet? Deadpool and Wolverine, my bad.
I have not.
Have you interest in seeing Deadpool and Wolverine?
I do have interest.
In honor of Deadpool and Wolverine coming out, at 10:40, I'm going to bring to you Bo's top five movies out of the comic book genre. All right?
That's a good one.
And some pretty cool freaking news out of San Diego Comic-Con today, if you pay attention to that stuff. You got to be an ultra nerd to do that. But I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm even going to play you a soundbite by it. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to got some fun audio from Big Ten Media Days this week. Lincoln Riley fires back at Kirby Smart for Kirby making fun of his NIL money and deals. Then we got the regulars in the 11 o'clock hour. Experience the NFL. We're going to experience the headlines. We'll finish it up by asking each other anything. Coming up next, Falcons training camp has officially wrapped up week one. I say week one. It was only been like 3 days. Lots of fun audio from the show from training camp. We're going to play that for you next, as well as some fun college football audio as well. We're going to talk about the shellacking that the U.S. basketball team put on Serbia this morning. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 99 Game. This is the Bo Johnson Experience. You can also listen on the Odyssey app.
To the Bo Johnson Experience
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the Experience. I am Bo Johnson. Joining the other side of the glass by Guru Williams. 404-726-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the text line. Guru, I was trying to scrape together some audio for a couple of segments before the show, and I didn't make it in here to chat with Caleb. And I wanted to ask Caleb why he's being so mean to his neighbors. So the way I gather this story that I heard on the way in, Caleb, so somebody texted about it on the text lines. Why? If this is a shared fence, like, doesn't his neighbor have the right to hang their clothes on it? Now, look, that does look incredibly tacky. And if you're going to dry your clothes outside, put up a freaking clothesline, because you're going to get all like the wood shards from the fence all up in your wet clothes and such. But, and look, I agree. Look, especially as a homeowner, I don't want to look outside my yard and see somebody's clothes hanging over the bed sheets, but it's not going to bother me that much. Caleb's wanting to go kick their clothes off the damn fence, man. But there could be some underlying factors there. If Caleb lives in a townhouse, that means he has neighbors right on the other side of a wall, right? So there could be some noisy ones. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's so sick and tired of dealing with somebody's noise at a certain time of night. I don't know these people. I don't know if this is what the real case is. But
could be.
That's just the land yap. That's just the icing on top, is the clothes being. Every time he gets mad and walks around his house about the noise or something like that, he goes outside and sees their clothes just hanging there.
And it could be the people who was there before, because he did say that they're renting.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I agree. I've been in that situation in a townhouse and had very noisy neighbors. So I feel you if that's what it is, Caleb. But be nice, man. Or not. You know, do you. Team USA whooped the crap out of Serbia today. 110-84, LeBron, 21-8-9. Kevin Durant had 23 points, led the team off the bench. Joker plays for Serbia, so does Bogey. That's about it. Joker had 20 points, Bogey had 14. Not quite enough. Now, up next for Team USA, they got to play South Sudan. Guru, refresh my memory. Didn't South Sudan, isn't that the team that almost beat Team USA in a practice game last week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wasn't it South Sudan?
Yeah, South Sudan.
Gave them some fits.
Yeah, they only lost by one.
Yeah, they had to come back after being down like 20 or something like that, didn't they?
Yeah, in the second half, yeah.
So South Sudan on Wednesday, then Puerto Rico on Saturday. South Sudan actually beat Puerto Rico in their pool today, so.
Oh, the fighting Grand Theft Alvarados.
Yeah.
He had a good game today.
So, congratulations, Team USA, on win number one. See if you can advance. South Sudan, man. Those guys can play. I think I read somewhere that they're building an indoor gym in South Sudan right now, and there's no other indoor basketball facility in the entire country.
Yeah, there's not.
And y'all almost got beat by these guys? You know, I'm not going to make fun of the country or anything like that, but they obviously don't. Look, y'all got air conditioning, and y'all are pampered and got chefs and stuff. I bet South Sudan don't have that stuff. All right, we'll see. Wednesday afternoon. So the Big Ten Media Days were last week. I actually botched that tease. It was not Lincoln Riley that was talking crap about Kirby and that Kirby was talking about with NIL. It was Dan Lanning who gets Nike money. He's the head coach of Oregon. Kirby week before, was making fun of Dan Lanning's NIL money, wishing that he could get him a piece. So this week at Big Ten Media Days, who Oregon is a part of now, it's more like the Big 20, Dan Lanning claps back at Kirby. Here it is.
Yeah, I think it's impressive that, you know, guys like Kirby have been signing the number one class in the nation without, you know, any NIL money this entire time.
God's has a question.
So impressed. No. Well, hey, man. Obviously, you know, Coach Smart took a little shot at us. I don't think it's a secret. If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better have great support. We have that.
Now, of course, Dan Lanning's been being tongue-in-cheek there. He worked for Kirby for a while at UGA. Everybody has to have NIL these days. You know, what's up, Rusty? Rusty on the text line, enjoying the show. The 1986 movie Howard the Duck is not going to make the list, Rusty, but we can make it an honorable mention right here and now. Howard the Duck was an animated comic, wasn't it? Like a comic book. So, yeah, Howard the Duck was great in its time. It was fun. Didn't make the list, though. Sorry about that, Rusty, but I do appreciate the hell out of you listening. All right. So more from Big Ten Media Days. So here's one from Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule. Let me just let you hear it first. Guru, run that clip.
I think we'll have a lot of access to the college football playoff. And I think four teams from this league should get in every year because this is the best league. This is the NFL of college football in my mind. It stretches from coast to coast, different time zones, different weather. That's not to diminish any other league. The SEC is amazing. These other leagues are great. But the challenge in the Big Ten is going to be really difficult. Travel, weather, and great teams.
I mean, you got Michigan. Michigan did win the national championship last year. But the NFL of college football? Somebody help me out here. They did just add Washington. Washington was good, but they lost Penix. They did add Oregon, USC. So if the Big Ten is the NFL of college football, what is the SEC? Bro, come on, man. You got to put up first, Matt Rhule. I mean, you coached Nebraska. What did you even do last year? Let's see. 1 second.
Besides still our number one recruit?
Yeah. Like, because the next one I'll play for you is from Lincoln Riley, who's just joining the Big Ten and already claiming to be at the top of it. Let's see. Let's find you, Nebraska. Three and six, Matt Rhule, in 2023. 3-6. Wait, that didn't even add up right. That's the conference win and loss record, but your total was, doesn't matter. You were 3-6 in your conference, so interesting. So here's Lincoln Riley, USC head coach, about him being on the top, not of the United States, not of everybody, not the country, just the conference.
We are at the top of the Big Ten Conference. I mean, we're at the top of any conference. I don't ever look at ourselves below anybody. I never will. 2 years ago, look where Ohio State and Oregon were 2 years ago. Look what they took over. Look what we took over. It takes time. You know, I'm not a magician. I can't wave a magic wand and everything just be perfect right away. But find one area that we haven't made progress. So this thing's got momentum. It's coming. Nothing's going to stop it. That's fine. They start at a different point. You know, we'll see where it ends up.
So, for a guy that finished 5-4 in his conference, hops over to the Big Ten with the likes of Washington, who finished second. Oregon finished the season ranked number 6. You're going to say you're at the top of the Big Ten. Hey, I love confidence. I am a big fan of confidence. I'm just not too sure about that. So, the Falcons in training camp, those are some fans that can be confident. I do think, honestly, Falcons fans can be confident this season. As long as Kirk Cousins stays healthy, I think they're going to have a great year offensively. Now, look, you may have to put up 35 points a game by my guesstimation, because I think this defense might give up like 28. Not going to lie, I'm not too confident in the Falcons defense rolling into this season. I just think you got a lot of holes in the secondary, and we've talked about that a little bit. Here's some audio from Falcons training camp, though. So the first one I want to play for you is Coach Raheem Morris. We had Raheem Morris on the midday show with Andy and Randy. You can find it here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Here's Raheem Morris on the plan for Kirk Cousins in training camp.
So the most important part for Kirk is, like you just mentioned, Pittsburgh week one. And what he's doing right now is simply just about everything. Right, the things you want to hold him back is the preparation and the readiness, right? So when we talk about individual drill, you'll see some individual drill by himself and doing the things that he needs to do specifically for him, right? So you may see separate individual drills. And then once you start routes on air, you can get those guys all together and doing those things. But you want to have the ability for to get all his team reps. And that's the plan for him right now, getting him ready for those things. And once we get into it, we can make some decisions even further moving forward where we need to go from there. But you don't want him to have setbacks. You don't want him to have those things. So, like, in order to get a nice, smooth flow for him to get going.
So, Coach Ra wants to get Kirk Cousins ready for Pittsburgh. 100% agrees. First game of the season. Versus Coach Art, former Falcons head coach. Wants to get Kirk Cousins ramped up. Mentions drills. Mentions activities. Never mentions playing in a preseason game, though. That's kind of interesting because Kirk Cousins took to the microphone in his presser as he got to camp, and he sure as hell mentioned playing in the preseason.
I want to play, but I think that ask fell on deaf ears. I think, Raheem's model is you're not playing. Like, that's just not – and I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his approach was like, that's just not how we want to do things. I'm sure maybe I could persuade him. Maybe there's a conversation. Who knows how the Dolphins practices go. Maybe he wants to see us in the game. It's just so much that can change. But, I think seeing live bullets and playing is helpful. But I also understand the logic behind not doing it. And you know, everything we do is calculated, and that will be as well.
All right, now, Coach Art tried not having his starting quarterback play any preseason games. And now, look, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination comparing Kirk Cousins to Desmond Ridder. It's not what I'm doing. Kirk Cousins is an NFL veteran quarterback, and he could probably start this season versus the Pittsburgh Steelers without having played any downs in any preseason game, especially since they're going to have live practices versus other NFL teams. I think the Miami Dolphins are the first ones. And I'm not sure if you're letting the cat out of the bag, because it's not like the teams that you play in the preseason games are going to have to game plan for you versus Michael Penix. They can't game plan for Penix. All they're going to do is put somebody that's a little bit more mobile than Kirk Cousins. I mean, you don't do you game plan for quarterbacks in the preseason? You might. But I'm wondering if it may take through the preseason for them to be 100% confident in Kirk Cousins' Achilles injury. Or are they injured? Are they worried about him re-injuring it? Or do you not just want to put him out there? You're going to have him practicing. At some point, he's going to be going full bore. I'm just curious if this is any kind of indicator that the injury may not be 100% for another month or so. And if that's the case, that's fine. Don't play him. But he did come out and tell you in his statement that there's no better practice than taking actual game reps. So maybe you get him in there in like a quarter of the last game, or, you know, maybe the first quarter of the last game. I don't know. You got practices versus other NFL teams. That may be enough. We've seen that happen here in Atlanta. Did not go well. Again, not comparing Kirk Cousins to Desmond Ridder. Kirk Cousins is actually a great quarterback. Desmond Ridder, well, we all saw that unfold. Here's Raheem Morris again talking about the quarterbacks and how they're working together.
We obviously have Mike, and it's really good to get those two guys in different situations, right? We could have those guys where one of them working with Kurt, and then sometimes we do split fields where they get a chance to separate and work in the other field. I think Taylor and both of those guys have done a great job for us. And, you know, obviously there's a competition in everything we do with everybody, but when those guys get a chance to go out and play, they're competing in their own rights, but it's like a healthy, competitive environment that we're creating here where there's like all of our guys. I've watched Heinicke help Penix. I've watched Penix help Paddock. I watched Paddock help Penix. I watched all those guys kind of evolve into a group, Kurt helping everybody, and those guys being able to deliver good information to all of them.
That's good to hear if you're a Falcons fan. What Michael Penix needs to be doing is holding that clipboard and studying every freaking thing that Kirk Cousins is doing. It sounds like while these NFL quarterbacks don't take to mentorship, you don't necessarily have to. You don't have to grab the guy by the ear and say, hey, let me mentor you into being a good quarterback. All you simply have to do is perform to the best of your ability. And that number two guy that you don't want to mentor, and Kirk Cousins has never come out and said that he didn't want to mentor Desmond Ridder. I actually think Kirk Cousins will probably go out of his way to help Desmond Ridder. I mean, did I say Desmond Ridder? Michael Penix. Sorry. I think Kirk Cousins would actually go out of his way to show and to mentor Michael Penix, although he's not going to be asked to do that. All Michael Penix has to do is pay attention. It is up to Michael Penix to learn and to develop and hopefully, honestly, not start a game for the Atlanta Falcons for the next 2 or 3 years, which is goes back to why they even picked him in the first place. But if everything goes well, you're not going to see any action, but you better be ready for action when your number's called. You know, so training camp ramps up. There's a live practice since there are no fans allowed at Falcons training camp. There's a live practice this weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Should be a packed house. I'm not saying a sold-out house. Should be a packed house, though. Going to be a lot of fun as Falcons training camp and other NFL training camp continues. We're going to hear from a lot of other NFL teams and coaches and some players. Got a lot of quarterbacks getting paid this week except for one. And the one that didn't get paid, to me, should have been the one paid first and a long time ago. I don't understand what's going down there in Dallas. We're going to get to that when we experience the NFL at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But first, Deadpool and Wolverine came out Thursday night. Abe Gordon told me that it was a fantastic movie. I have not seen it yet. I'm planning on going to see it Wednesday, so no spoilers, please. But look, I scour the internet just like you do. If I find a spoiler or two, I'm not going to be afraid, or I'm not going to hate it. The person that posted it, I don't care. It's more about the adventure, not the destination to me. Coming up next, my top five movies from the comic book genre. You're not going to want to miss it, but first, it's going to be a cool announcement from San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to get to that in 5 minutes. Sports Radio 99 The Game. This is the Bo Johnson Experience.
Giving you the experience.
On the weekends.
I hear that.
This is the Bo Johnson Experience.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It sounds like the Thunderbirds theme music. The old wrestling tag team. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the experience. So we just got, Dave O'Brien just tweeted out that the Braves now say they won't have any update on the Lopez MRI until tomorrow. I don't know if that's because the imaging hasn't come through yet, or if because they're having trouble reading it, or because they don't want to drop a bomb on us again. I have no idea. I don't know that I'm extra worried because of this, but I do believe that if everything was A-OK, they would probably come out and say that. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to stay tuned until tomorrow, and we'll find out. But neither here nor there. We had some news today out of the San Diego Comic-Con. Now, this has gone all over the internet. I'm sure you may have heard about this. If you hadn't, Kevin Feige and the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe people were there. I think Hall H, which is the biggest hall at San Diego Comic-Con. They were all there, you know, hyping up the movies that are coming out this year. We've got Captain America, Brave New World. We've got Thunderbolts. And then they started talking about, so the next Avengers movie was originally going to be something about Kang the Conqueror. And that was in the title and everything. So they're going to scrap King the Conqueror because of Jonathan Majors getting into trouble. I think he was convicted of assault or something like that. None of my business. They do have a new title now, and here's how they unveiled it.
Unimaginable possibilities in the Marvel multiverse.
Multiverse, I think is
what they call it. We give you the one person who could play Victor Von Doom.
New mask, same task. What did I tell you? I like playing complicated characters.
If you live under a rock, you have no idea who that was. That was one. Robert Downey Jr. is making the heel turn of the century. He is going from playing Iron Man to playing Victor Von Doom in the upcoming Avengers Doomsday, which will be released in May 2026. Now, that was Kevin Feige talking at the beginning of that thing. He did mention the multiverse. He introduced Robert Downey Jr. as playing Victor Von Doom. So this is not a Tony Stark version of Doctor Doom, unless he misspoke there. So I don't know if this is a complete, just him just playing a completely different character that's not related to Tony Stark at all. We will find out. There's a lot of people on the internet that are already hating this and, wow, there could have been somebody better to play him. And, you know, go kick rocks or something. I think this is pretty cool. I think he'll do a great job at it. Did somebody else deserve a chance? Maybe, but, you know, the MCU's kind of been in a kind of a tailspin since Endgame. All right, they've kind of looking for some organization. We've had some movies, you know, and we've had some stuff come out, some TV shows that haven't been all that accepted by the public. So you bring in RDJ. Look, I'm excited for it. I'm here for all the Robert Downey Jr. greatness. All right, my top five comic book genre movies of all time. Guru, if you have any input on my list, by all means. Josh Hagedorn's on the other side of the glass, too. If you want to chip in, you're more than welcome. All right. So, a couple caveats here. There's no animated films on this list. There's no Matrix movies on this list, because I don't know if the Matrix started as an animated, as a comic or an animated novel, or if they started as a movie, then made it into a novel. So I didn't put John Wick on here either because of the same thing. I'm not sure if that started as a animated novel first, then was made into a movie. But sorry, Keanu, you don't have any movies on here, but you're my guy. Your movies are great. Here's number five.
How many people are on this special fight team?
Three, including you.
Three? Against what?
I'll tell you on the plane.
Plane? What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
So that's Ben Affleck just meeting the Flash. I'm talking about the Justice League. Now, before you get on the text line hating on me for the Justice League, it has to be the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. Yes, it's like 4 hours long. There's so much more detail in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. And they even break it. They break it into like 45-minute parts. It even has like a 30-second, hey, now's your time to get up and get some popcorn or stop the movie and start it later. If you break it apart and watch it, it's very watchable, 45 minutes at a piece. There's so much more detail and so much more context in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League that got left on the freaking cutting room floor when the Justice League was released to Florida. I mean, to Florida, to theaters. The original Justice League, the theatric cut, was a mess. I'll admit that. I do love Ben Affleck as Batman. He was the best person to play him. Yeah, come at me. But the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, absolutely phenomenal movie. Guru, let's play number four.
You lost friends. You lost family. We lost a part of ourselves. Today we have a chance to take it all back. You know your teams. You know your missions. Get the stones. Get them back. One round trip each. No mistakes. No do-overs. Most of us are going somewhere we know. That doesn't mean we should know what to expect. Be careful. Look out for each other. This is the fight of our lives. And we're going to win. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Avengers Endgame. A lot of people are going to tell me that I'm way too low with Endgame on this list. That Endgame maybe should be number one. It's my list. I don't think so. All right, because the three I have above Endgame, I actually enjoyed more. I was very upset when they decided to kill off Black Widow in Endgame. That knocks it down a couple notches on the list right there. It was a fantastic movie. I get it. It is number four on my list, but whatever.
Wait, they killed Black Widow?
You not seen Endgame?
Yeah, Josh is over here clowning on me because I haven't.
Oh, well,
no,
come
I
on.
Haven't.
It's been like 10 years. No, I haven't.
No, about five.
It's been a minute.
So I've been watching a lot of superhero stuff lately. So yeah. This segment is very fitting. I've been trying to catch up to get to that point. I just watched Avengers for the first time. Don't laugh, Bo. For the first time last week. Last week.
Look.
But thanks for that spoiler. I didn't know that.
Well.
5 years late.
Though. That's been like, yeah. It's been, yeah, at least 5 years.
Not even a it's spoiler a, anymore.
No, it's not. I'm surprised you didn't know that already.
I didn't.
Because after, you know, when Black Widow, the movie came out, there was this big lawsuit with Scarlett Johansson and all that stuff and how she exited the MCU. And that was kind of had to deal with, do with that. You know, so, yeah, sorry. I won't spoil anything else from that one. Still a great movie. Still well worth the watch. That movie right there, I have a daughter. Tony Stark had a daughter in the movie. Do you know about any of the other deaths in the movie?
I'm lost, man.
All right, I'm not going to spoil anything else for you. All right, let's just get...
Next time I see you, though, I'll have a whole rundown for you. Like I said, I've been...
That's probably going to be next
watching
Sunday.
...watching superhero movies.
Good.
Faithfully.
Look, me and Tara started the MCU out in the timeline order, starting with Captain America, and went all the way through it. It took us many, many months.
That's what I'm trying to
do. In the TV shows, too?
Not the TV shows, just kind of the start of the cinematic universe.
A lot of them bridge some gaps. Like Hawkeye was good, you know. A lot of them bridge some gaps of some stuff that happened after the snap, before the snap. Man, you don't even know about the snap yet, dog. Man, all right, let's roll number three.
Suddenly, I heard a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You heard me rapping, right?
You heard me rapping, right? That was Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee plays the Crow in the only Crow movie that should have ever been made. There's another one about to come to theaters, and I'm going to go watch it with high levels of skepticism. It hadn't gotten great reviews, but I don't listen to Rotten Tomato reviews anyway. But the Crow is a fantastic, it's a very cult movie, I guess, is a phrase people like to use. One of the best movie soundtracks that has ever been spliced together is The Crow, 1996, Brandon Lee. I hate to drop another tearjerker on you like I kind of spoiled with Endgame, but here's number two.
Take your friends and run. They'll keep coming and coming. Yes, you don't have to fight anymore. Go. Go.
All right, so let me tell you how I ended up with that clip right there. I was running out of time, pulling this audio while Caleb was still on the air. It's like, you know, 9:50. I got to be on the air at 10. It was so hard to find a clip from Logan. That was from the movie Logan. Have you seen Logan?
Yeah, I agree with you with this one.
Bro.
That was a great
movie. Freaking good.
I agree.
It was so hard to find a clip from this movie that didn't have a bunch of F-bombs in it because I didn't have time to go back and bleep them. I would have much rather used a happier scene, but there's not a whole lot of happy scenes in Logan.
No.
Logan's about old man Wolverine, old man Logan. You know, he does die at the end of the movie, which is why people were shocked when he comes back for Deadpool and Wolverine. Now, this is a variant of Wolverine and Deadpool and Wolverine. It's not the same one that dies. But Logan was one of the best comic book movies ever made, and I would have it very easily at number one if it weren't for this Oscar-winning performance.
I just want her to know that I don't care about the scars. So, I stick a razor in my mouth and do this to myself. And you know what? She can't stand the sight of me. She leaves. Now I see the funny side. Now I'm always smiling.
That was, of course, the legendary performance of Heath Ledger as the Joker in The Dark Knight. Probably, and I'm not alone in this, the best comic book movie ever created.
One of the best, period.
Yeah, one of the best movies, period. You're right. It's probably my, I think it is. I have, oh yeah, look, I've got, so I put the comic book based movies on top, on the bottom of my all time favorite movies, and Dark Knight is number one on both lists. And look, we've had this conversation before. Christian Bale was horrible at Batman. You put Ben Affleck in that movie, wow, you win awards. It did win awards. Heath Ledger won an award. He won a posthumous Oscar for his performance. But one of the best movies ever because of that performance. Christian Bale rides on Heath Ledger's coattails throughout the entire thing and talks like this. And it's pretty annoying. Does not retract from the fact this is a great freaking movie. Highly recommend it. This movie's like 2.5 hours long, and it's one of the only 2-hour-plus long movies that when I see it on TV, I'm stopping every time. It was just that good. His performance, you know, he had what's-his-name as Two-Face. Aaron Eckhart was good, too. You know, but a fantastic comic movie. Guru, what do you think of the list?
I like the list. I like the list a lot. Now, I have not seen The Crow. I wrote that down. And the first one, the Justice League, I haven't seen Justice League. And, of course, Endgame.
Oh, so you haven't seen any version of Justice League?
I see the animated, you know, back when I was a kid.
The Zack Snyder Justice League.
Yeah, the 2000s.
Those are also great movies, man. Look, there's a before Justice League, you got to go through Batman versus Superman. There's a director's cut for that one that is also so much better than the theatrical release. That, I mean, they've ended that. All you have left is Jason Momoa still playing Aquaman. They're still making movies for him, you know. But everything else in that version of the DC universe has pretty much been scrapped. Just because it wasn't received well. But you can blame editors and directors on that. Like, I actually like the movies. I'm, as you can tell, a bigger Batman fan than I am, you know, the Avengers. But
I'm just a little mad you didn't have Iron Giant on your top five.
It was only five, bro. I'm just playing.
Look, I'm just playing.
I have somebody else on here with Big Hero 6. I agree. Big Hero 6 is vastly underrated, but it's not going to be a top five movie. But there's no animated movies. Maybe I could do the top five animated superhero. That's so many movies.
That it is.
Mask of the Phantasm has to be like up there at number one-ish, I would imagine.
Are you a fan of X-Men 97, the new
HBO?
Dude,
I started it, and I haven't watched past episode one yet, but yes.
I'm on two. It's all right.
Yeah, I've got so much stuff. That's one of the ones that I have to watch when I get alone time because Tara won't watch, you know, especially she'll watch X-Men stuff and comic booky stuff, you know, but she probably draws a line at cartoons.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
most women.
I got so much stuff on my list for when she's not around that one's on there, but just down near the bottom. All right, we come back. Oh, wow, it's already 11 o'clock. We're going to experience the NFL. We're going to get out of here right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. It's the Bo Johnson Experience. Guru, thank you. On Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Giving you the experience.
On the weekends.
I hear that.
This is the Bo Johnson Experience.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This sounds like the Thunderbirds theme music. The old wrestling tag team. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game. Welcome back to the Experience. So we just got Dave O'Brien just tweeted out that the Braves now say they won't have any update on the Lopez MRI until tomorrow. I don't know if that's because the imaging hasn't come through yet or if because they're having trouble reading it or because they don't want to drop a bomb on us again. I have no idea. I don't know that I'm extra worried because of this, but I do believe that if everything was A-OK, they would probably come out and say that. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to stay tuned until tomorrow and we'll find out. But neither here nor there. We had some news today out of the San Diego Comic-Con. Now, this has gone all over the internet. I'm sure you may have heard about this. If you hadn't, Kevin Feige and the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe people were there. I think Hall H, which is the biggest hall at San Diego Comic-Con. They were all there, you know, hyping up the movies that are coming out this year. We've got Captain America, Brave New World. We've got Thunderbolts. And then they started talking about, so the next Avengers movie was originally going to be something about Kang the Conqueror. And that was in the title and everything. So they're going to scrap Kang the Conqueror because of Jonathan Majors getting into trouble. I think he was convicted of assault or something like that. None of my business. They do have a new title now, and here's how they unveiled it.
Unimaginable possibilities in the Marvel multiverse.
Multiverse, I think is
what they call it. We give you the one person who could play Victor Von Doom.
New mask. Same task. What did I tell you? I like playing complicated characters.
If you live under a rock, you have no idea who that was. That was one. Robert Downey Jr. is making the heel turn of the century. He is going from playing Iron Man to playing Victor Von Doom in the upcoming Avengers Doomsday, which will be released in May 2026. Now, that was Kevin Feige talking at the beginning of that thing. He did mention the multiverse. He introduced Robert Downey Jr. as playing Victor Von Doom. So this is not a Tony Stark version of Dr. Doom, unless he misspoke there. So I don't know if this is a complete, just him just playing a completely different character that's not related to Tony Stark at all. We will find out. There's a lot of people on the internet that are already hating this and, wow, there could have been somebody better to play him. And, you know, go kick rocks or something. I think this is pretty cool. I think he'll do a great job at it. Did somebody else deserve a chance? Maybe, but, you know, the MCU's kind of been in a kind of a tailspin since Endgame. All right. They've kind of looking for some organization. We've had some movies, you know, and we've had some stuff come out, some TV shows that haven't been all that accepted by the public. So you bring in RDJ. Look, I'm excited for it. I'm here for all the Robert Downey Jr. greatness. All right. My top five comic book genre movies of all time. Guru, if you have any input on my list, by all means. Josh Hagedorn's on the other side of the glass, too. If you want to chip in, you're more than welcome. All right. So, a couple caveats here. There's no animated films on this list. There's no Matrix movies on this list, because I don't know if the Matrix started as an animated, as a comic or an animated novel, or if they started as a movie, then made it into a novel. So I didn't put John Wick on here either because of the same thing. I'm not sure if that started as a animated novel first, then was made into a movie. But sorry, Keanu, you don't have any movies on here, but you're my guy. Your movies are great. Here's number five.
How many people are on this special fight team?
Three, including you.
Three? Against what?
I'll tell you on the plane.
Plane? What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
So that's Ben Affleck just meeting the Flash. I'm talking about the Justice League. Now, before you get on the text line hating on me for the Justice League, it has to be the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. Yes, it's like 4 hours long. There's so much more detail in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League. And they even break it. They break it into like 45-minute parts. It even has like a 30-second, hey, now's your time to go get up and get some popcorn or stop the movie and start it later. If you break it apart and watch it, it's very watchable, 45 minutes at a piece. There's so much more detail and so much more context in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League that got left on the freaking cutting room floor when the Justice League was released to Florida. I mean, to Florida, to theaters. The original Justice League, the theatric cut, was a mess. I'll admit that. I do love Ben Affleck as Batman. He was the best person to play him. Yeah, come at me. But the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, absolutely phenomenal movie. Guru, let's play number four.
You lost friends. You lost family. You lost a part of ourselves. Today we have a chance to take it all back. You know your teams. You know your missions. Get the stones. Get them back. One round trip each. No mistakes. No do-overs. Most of us are going somewhere we know. That doesn't mean we should know what to expect. Be careful. Look out for each other. This is the fight of our lives. And we're going to win. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Avengers Endgame. A lot of people are going to tell me that I'm way too low with Endgame on this list. That Endgame maybe should be number one. It's my list. I don't think so. All right, because the three I have above Endgame, I actually enjoyed more. I was very upset when they decided to kill off Black Widow in Endgame. That knocks it down a couple notches on the list right there. It was a fantastic movie. I get it. It is number four on my list, but whatever.
Wait, they killed Black Widow?
You not seen Endgame?
Yeah, Josh is over here clowning on me because I haven't.
Oh, well,
no,
come on.
I haven't.
It's been like 10 years. No, I didn't have it.
No, about five.
It's been a minute.
So I've been watching a lot of superhero stuff lately. So yeah. This segment is very fitting. I've been trying to catch up to get to that point. I just watched Avengers for the first time. Don't laugh, Bo. For the first time last week. Last week.
Look.
But thanks for that spoiler. I didn't know that.
Well.
5 years late.
Though. That's been like, yeah. It's been, yeah, at least 5 years.
Not even a spoiler anymore.
No, it's not. I'm surprised you didn't know that already.
I didn't.
Because after, you know, when Black Widow, the movie, came out, there was this big lawsuit with Scarlett Johansson and all that stuff and how she exited the MCU. And that was kind of had to do with that. You know, so, yeah, sorry. I won't spoil anything else from that one. Still a great movie. Still well worth the watch. That movie right there, I have a daughter. Tony Stark had a daughter in the movie. You know about any of the other deaths in the movie?
I'm lost, man.
All right, I'm not going to spoil anything else for you. All right, let's just get...
Next time I see you, though, I'll have a whole rundown for you.
That's probably going to be next
watching
Sunday.
Superhero movies.
Good.
Faithfully.
Look, me and Tara started the MCU out in the timeline order, starting with Captain America, and went all the way through it. It took us many, many months.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, in the TV shows, too?
Not the TV shows, just kind of the start of the cinematic universe.
A lot of them bridge some gaps. Like Hawkeye was good. You know, a lot of them bridge some gaps of some stuff that happened after the snap, before the snap. Man, you don't even know about the snap yet, dog. Man, all right, let's roll number three.
Suddenly, I heard a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You heard me rapping, right?
You heard me rapping, right? That was Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee plays the Crow in the only Crow movie that should have ever been made. There's another one about to come to theaters, and I'm going to go watch it with high levels of skepticism. It hadn't gotten great reviews, but I don't listen to Rotten Tomato reviews anyway. But the Crow is a fantastic, it's a very cult movie, I guess, is a phrase people like to use. One of the best movie soundtracks that has ever been spliced together is The Crow, 1996, Brandon Lee. I hate to drop another tearjerker on you like I kind of spoiled with Endgame, but here's number two.
Take your friends and run. They'll keep coming and coming. You don't have to fight anymore. Go. Go.
All right, so let me tell you how I ended up with that clip right there. I was running out of time, pulling this audio while Caleb was still on the air. It's like, you know, 9:50. I got to be on the air at 10. It was so hard to find a clip from Logan. That was from the movie Logan. Have you seen Logan?
Yeah, I agree with you with this one.
Bro.
That was a great
movie. So freaking good.
I agree.
It was so hard to find a clip from this movie that didn't have a bunch of F-bombs in it because I didn't have time to go back and bleep them. I would have much rather used a happier scene, but there's not a whole lot of happy scenes in Logan.
No.
Logan's about old man Wolverine, old man Logan. You know, he does die at the end of the movie, which is why people were shocked when he comes back for Deadpool and Wolverine. Now, this is a variant of Wolverine and Deadpool and Wolverine. It's not the same one that dies. But Logan was one of the best comic book movies ever made, and I would have it very easily at number one if it weren't for this Oscar-winning performance.
I just want her to know that I don't care about the scars. So, I stick a razor in my mouth and do this to myself. And you know what? She can't stand the sight of me. She leaves. Now I see the funny side. Now I'm always smiling.
That was, of course, the legendary performance of Heath Ledger as the Joker in The Dark Knight. Probably, and I'm not alone in this, the best comic book movie ever created.
One of the best, period.
Yeah, one of the best movies, period. You're right. It's probably I think it is. I have, oh yeah, look, I've got, so I put the comic book based movies on top, on the bottom of my all time favorite movies, and Dark Knight is number one on both lists. And look, we've had this conversation before. Christian Bale was horrible at Batman. You put Ben Affleck in that movie, wow, you win awards. It did win awards. Heath Ledger won an award. He won a posthumous Oscar for his performance. But one of the best movies ever because of that performance. Christian Bale rides on Heath Ledger's coattails throughout the entire thing and talks like this. And it's pretty annoying. Does not retract from the fact this is a great freaking movie. Highly recommend it. This movie's like 2.5 hours long, and it's one of the only 2-hour-plus long movies that when I see it on TV, I'm stopping every time. It was just that good. His performance, you know, he had what's-his-name as Two-Face. Aaron Eckhart was good, too. You know, but a fantastic comic movie. Guru, what do you think of the list?
I like the list. I like the list a lot. Now, I have not seen The Crow. I wrote that down. And the first one, the Justice League, I haven't seen Justice League. And, of course, Endgame.
Oh, so you haven't seen any version of Justice League?
That's seen the animated, you know, back when I was a kid.
The Zack Snyder Justice League.
Yeah, the 2000s.
Those are also great movies, man. Look, there's a before Justice League, you got to go through Batman versus Superman. There's a director's cut for that one that is also so much better than the theatrical release. That, I mean, they've ended that. All you have left is Jason Momoa still playing Aquaman. They're still making movies for him, you know. But everything else in that version of the DC universe has pretty much been scrapped. It's because it wasn't received well. But you can blame editors and directors on that. Like, I actually like the movies. I'm, as you can tell, a bigger Batman fan than I am, you know, the Avengers. But
I'm just a little mad you didn't have an Iron Giant on your top five.
It was only five, bro. If I do 10, maybe.
Look, I'm just playing.
I have somebody else on here with Big Hero 6. I agree. Big Hero 6 is vastly underrated, but it's not going to be a top five movie. But there's no animated movies. Maybe I could do the top five animated superhero. That's so many movies.
That it is.
Mask of the Phantasm has to be like up there at number one-ish, I would imagine.
Are you a fan of X-Men 97, the new
dude,
HBO?
I started it, and I haven't watched past episode one yet, but yes.
I'm on two. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, I've got so much stuff. That's one of the ones that I have to watch when I get alone time because Tara won't watch, you know, especially she'll watch X-Men stuff and comic booky stuff, you know, but she probably draws a line at cartoons.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
most women.
I got so much stuff on my list for when she's not around that one's on there, but just down near the bottom. All right, we come back. Oh, wow, it's already 11 o'clock. We're going to experience the NFL. We're going to get out of here right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. It's the Bo Johnson Experience. Guru, thank you. On Sports Radio, 99 The Game.